from the Cyber Hub bunker and studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Happy Monday and welcome to the Cyber Hub podcast. It's great to be with all of y'all this Monday morning. I know we started a few minutes late here getting this setup done. It's a one-time show that we're doing really on the road right before Passover. Really excited to be with y'all this Monday morning. Obviously, we'll have some guest hosts later on this week helping us host a show and keeping you informed. So don't go anywhere. Make sure you are subscribing and following us here at the Cyber Hub Podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform, as well as on your favorite social media channels. We've got a packed show for all of y'all today. A lot happening over the weekend. We're going to get right into that. So let's not waste any more time. I've got my double espresso here and I don't know what you call this mug, whatever you want to call this mug. Coffee cup cheers, y'all. These mugs don't belong for an espresso. It takes too long to sip. You got to have short mugs. I don't know. When we booked this place, I obviously didn't pack my mugs, all right? And I didn't pack even my Cyber Hub podcast travel mug. Yeah, blame, you know, let me be the one walking around like that. That's horrible. Horrendous and not good. All right, let's go ahead and get started with MITRE revealing on Friday that one of its R&D networks was hacked a few months ago by a foreign state-sponsored threat actor leveraging the Avanti zero-day vulnerabilities, the whole series of them. The attack occurred in early January, was only discovered this month. It targeted MITRE's networked experimentation, research, and virtualization environment, also known as NERV. It's an unclassified collaborative network that's used for research, development, and prototyping. Following the discovery of the breach, MITRE took the NERV environment offline, launched an investigation. The organization determined the attack involved exploitation of two of Avanti's Connect Secure VPN device vulnerabilities for initial access. The vulnerability CVE-2023-46805 and CVE-2024-21887 were 0 days at the time of the attack and still remain so, even though a patch is still available today. Google Cloud's Mandiant was aware of several Chinese-linked threat actors that have been exploiting the Avanti VPN vulnerabilities in their attack. MITRE is a non-for-profit company operating federally funded R&D centers on behalf of government sponsors. The company is widely known in cybersecurity for its attack and defend framework, both of which have real-life applications to security operations team. So we'll wait and see. The real impact of this is stuff that was being prototyped and worked on potentially as TTPs and IOCs, even though it's unclassified, but different ways to deal with them have now fallen into the hands of a nation-state adversary, most likely China. And China will now be able to adjust its behavior accordingly. Telecommunication giant Frontier Communications on Thursday informed the SEC that certain systems were shut down following a cyber attack on its environment. They identified that on April 14th, a third party gained unauthorized access to a portion of its IT environment. Frontier said it immediately initiated its IR protocols, took steps to contain the incident, including shutting down certain systems, which resulted in an operational disruption that could be considered material. And this is one of those questions here. You know, we often talk about the SEC reporting and they say you need to report a material breach. Well, what's material? They don't define it. They kind of leave it up to you, meaning a lot of these orgs are reporting stuff and they say this could be considered material because when you sit in a room with lawyers and regulators, they go, well, these people could see it as material, so therefore you are reporting it. The company also noted that it notified law enforcement the incident likely will likely not have material impact on its financial condition or results of operation. While Frontier did not say what type of cyber attack it fell victim to, its typical response would indicate that this might be a ransomware attack. So we'll see, you know, kind of how that goes there as well. FBI Director Wray this week delivered what might be the starkest warning yet on the threat that China poses to U.S. national and economic security. In her remarks at Vanderbilt University, a hosted summit on modern conflict and emerging threats, Wray described Chinese hackers outnumbering FBI personnel 50 to 1, a number he's repeated multiple times. I don't know if he's asking for more FBI agents or if he needs the private sector to really step up and maybe the FBI needs to partner with the private sector and overcome the threats coming from China even more than it needs to do so now. Ray's comments build on repeated warnings he's had in recent months to U.S. officials and the FBI itself about a dangerous and systematic escalation of Chinese targeting the networks and systems belonging to organizations and critical infrastructure sectors. Ray and others have repeatedly described intrusions as attempts by Chinese hackers to methodically pre-position themselves for attack designed to disrupt telecom, energy, water, technology, and other critical services when needed. Again, he's not wrong here, but what are we going to do about it, right? And so the bottom line that kind of boils down from everything Director Ray says here is, what are we really doing about it? And if we're not doing anything serious about it and we're not addressing it, we're not going to go and hire. We don't have enough cybersecurity professionals to fill that 50-to-1 gap, but we do have something else, right? And that something else is a bustling private sector that's got skill and talent and is able to help defend the U.S. critical infrastructure. Will the FBI heed the call from the private sector in order to address these threats? A joint advisory from the FBI, CISA, Europol's EC3, and the Netherlands National Cybersecurity Center have all notified that the Kira ransomware has breached a network of over 250 organizations. They've racked in $42 million in ransom payment. Kira emerged in March of last year. They quickly gained notoriety after targeting victim systems across industry verticals worldwide. They had deployed a ransomware and a Linux decryptor to target the VMware ESXi virtual machines widely used in enterprise organizations. According to negotiation chats obtained by Bleepy Computer, Akira operators are demanding ransoms from $200,000 to millions of dollars, depending on the size of the compromised organization. Since March 2023, Akira ransomware has impacted a wide range of businesses and critical infrastructure entities in North America, Europe, and Australia. So there's that warning on Akira for all of y'all there. Crush FTP is warning customers today in a private memo of an actively exploited zero-day vulnerability that was fixed in new versions released today, urging them to patch their servers immediately. Now, let me just remind y'all of MoveIt. I don't know how big Crush is compared to MoveIt, but it seems like it's fairly large. The company also explains in their public advisory that was published on Friday, the zero-day enables unauthenticated attackers to escape the user's virtual file system and download system files. However, those using a DMZ perimeter network in front of their main FTP instance are protected against these types of attacks. The bottom line of this vulnerability is that any unauthenticated or authenticated user via the web interface could retrieve system files that are not part of their VFS. So all in all, we see that the U.S., Germany, Canada, U.K., and Netherlands at the top of this list. It's being exploited potentially in targeted attacks. And remember, 24 hours is all it takes for someone to come and target these vulnerabilities. Palo Alto says roughly 6,000 internet-accessible Palo Alto Network firewalls are potentially affected by the recently addressed exploited vulnerability, according to the Shadow Server Foundation reporting. Palo Alto disclosed the flaw on April 12th, started rolling out patches a couple of days later. CVE-2024-3400 is described as a command injection in the Global Protect feature of PAN-OS, the operating system running Palo Alto's network appliances. According to the vendor's updated advisory, the flaw is rooted in arbitrary file creation, defect, and under specific conditions. Now, all in all, there's an active exploit available. 6,000 devices still are not taken care of. So something you want to make sure you get patched ASAP. Citrix Uber Agent, a sophisticated monitoring tool used to enhance performance and security across Citrix platforms, has been identified as having a critical vulnerability. The flaw CVE-2024-3902 could allow attackers to escalate their privileges within the system, posing a significant threat to organizations using the affected software versions. This vulnerability affects Citrix Uber Agent versions before 7.1.2. It arises under certain configuration where the Uber Agent is set with specific Citrix ADC metrics and PowerShell-based WMI providers. Affected configurations are Citrix ADC Performance, ADC vServer, ADC Gateway, and ADC Inventory. A mitigation strategy has been issued or updating to a version later than 7.1.2 is encouraged by all users. An operator of the Hello Kitty ransomware operation announced they've changed their name to Hello Gookie. Okay, there we go, folks. That's news. I think whoever picked this story for me this morning wanted some humor. The threat actor made the announcement, goes by the name of Gooky or Cappuccino, and claims to be the original creator of the now defunct Hello Kitty ransomware. As first reported by 3xSport on Thursday, the rebranding coincides with the launch of a new dark web portal for Hello Gooky. So all in all, a new threat actor just rebranding themselves and coming back to it. That's it for our show today. I want to take this very, very special moment at the end of the show to first of all wish everyone a happy Passover. Tonight, we the Jewish people celebrate the highest of holidays for us, Passover. Passover is the story of our exodus from Egypt into the promised land of Israel, led by Moses and Aaron. And tonight we sit around our table and every Jewish heart will be missing 133 heartbeats for the 133 hostages still being held by Hamas in Gaza for over 6 months now, while the international community has failed to secure their release or even ensure that a Red Cross could visit to see the health and well-being of these hostages, many of which are women, including one-year-old Kfir Bibas and four-year-old Ariel Bibas, who are still being held hostage with their parents by the evil Hamas terrorists. So this Passover is a special one. When we say, let my people go, we mean it from the depth of our heart. Let our people go. With that being said, thank you all for tuning in today. Have a great rest of your day, and most importantly, all, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.